There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on a Friday. I'm so happy to have you here. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. You and I hanging out. Phone number is going to be, it's always important. Whether you want to text or call in, there'll be maybe not today, but someday in the future you want to chime in on something. So go ahead and put this in the contacts. In your smartphone, just put radio station, FM Talk 106.5. Call in, whatever you want to call it. I'm not here to direct that. I'm here to just give you the number. 343-0106. If y'all are new to town, 251. If you're calling from somewhere else, 251-343-0106. But 343-0106. Get that loaded in, because I think you're going to need it. I got a subject in a little bit I need your help on. I want to get your opinion on this, and we will do that coming up in just a couple minutes. Also, 1230 today. I've had a few texts about this, and there's a couple news stories bouncing around. I was looking at Jason Johnson's story from LandyatMobile.com about the area of West Mobile that is going to be without fire services. You know, we started talking about this maybe 2 years ago on this show, as it was discussed back then. Now it's come back up, and this kind of goes hand in glove with the story about Mobile Fire Rescue getting that really great ISO rating. Well, part of it is pulling back from services that were offered outside the city limits, and we'll lay the story out for you. And an area of the county that seems to be really going to have to come up with something pretty new and different to find fire service, it's inside District 3, which is the province of Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl. He'll join us at 1230 to talk more about that and talk about some upcoming meetings where that will be discussed. But before we get into the story, and go ahead and get ready, because I'm going to need your help on this. But before we do, a couple things here. I just heard a update that Mayori Davenport, we talked about the story the other day, basketball player extraordinaire, who got caught up in what I think it's just the way I've read it, and I've listened to the crew with Prep Sports Report on Saturday mornings here. I've read the stories, listened to people that are, you know, well more informed on this than I am. And it seems like this is just a Alabama High School Athletic Association going too far, banning Mayori Davenport, who took a check by mistake but had returned it and cashed it. They're keeping her off the court. She's a basketball phenom. Well, it looks like a judge has granted an injunction, and she will take the court tonight. If you're following that story, so good news. She will get to play ball tonight. Talk a little bit more about that coming up. Also on the list here, on national news, you might have heard Mike Gallagher talking about it a little bit. Looks like Ruth Bader Ginsburg might be leaving office as early as this month, as her health is not good. And that'll bring up, of course, a whole other conversation when it comes to President Trump, who's busy with, you know, this wall thing seems to be dominating everything. We'll be back in the business of nominating somebody to go to the Supreme Court if that does happen. So we'll put that on notice. That's something we're going to get into, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. All right, and let's see here. There's a law. There it is. All right, I mentioned this yesterday on Twitter. I put a post up about it. And then we mentioned it on the morning show. I know Dalton was bringing it up this morning. We talked about it a little bit. Maybe he was referencing more the picture that I put on Twitter to go along with Jeff Poor's story from yellowhammernews.com. And it's, okay, so session doesn't get started in Montgomery until early March. But you already have state reps and senators floating bills, things they'd like to push outside of gas tax Lotto, Medicaid expansion. These will be the more boutique laws. These are the ones that members of the Alabama legislature will bring up to bring themselves attention. And I think State Senator McClendon thinks that this is going to be good attention. Jim McClendon out of Springville, Republican. I think he brings it up because he thinks it'll be positive for him. I think maybe he has true in his heart. He believes it and really wants to do something about it. But it is a move here to bring a bill to change, to make a law, not to change, to make a law in Alabama that would fine you up to $200 if you hold your cell phone while you drive. You know, a hands-free law. Here's a little more from Jeff Poore's story over at Yellowhammer News. Says this bill would make it illegal for individuals to hold their cell phones while driving, and it's similar to a law passed in Georgia. McClendon's law would give an incentive to drivers to use hands-free devices and perhaps avoid the pitfalls of distracted driving. A quote here from McClendon, he said, the law, this proposed law, allows for one-button touch. On my car, it's the steering wheel. You push one button and it says, what do you want to do? If you don't have that built into your car, you just find an earpiece and you touch the earpiece and that sets up for voice recognition, end quote. Thank you, Senator McClendon, for the tech lesson there. McClendon said the proposal did allow for offenders to have the opportunity to have the charge dropped. He said I love the fact that he says this because it's his bill. He says one interesting part of this bill is that I think everyone will like. On your first offense, if you present to the judge a device that you have purchased in order to correct this problem or evidence of a device, a receipt for your device, then you're forgiven and there will be no offense. You will not be convicted of anything. There's a sort of get out of jail free pass on the first offense only. You must affirm to the judge you've never used the excuse before. I like the idea that you'd be going back time and time again. It's a way for first time offenders to avoid having a charge against them, having points, paying court costs, and seeing what happens to their auto insurance, end quote. And he's talked about that. He said the structure here would be $100 for the first offense for touching your phone. For touching your phone. First offense, $100. $150 for the second offense, $200 for the third offense, in addition to points on your driver's license, which, of course, could affect your insurance rates and give you issues with court costs, too, if you go to court for it. So it's a hands-free cell phone law. So the lay of the land right now, Alabama currently bans texting while driving. Remember, we went through that, and I said, hey, we have laws on the books for distracted driving. Let's just enforce those. But it had to be specific here for two things, I think, to the benefit of insurance companies out there and to the benefit of politicians saying, hey, I'm doing something, right? I'm busy doing something out there. They passed the texting, banning texting while driving. Have you seen any decrease in texting while driving? Because, I mean, you should not text while driving because it's distracted driving and it's a bad decision. It's unsafe. Did somebody change their behavior once Alabama... But we'll leave it open because I want to hear from you. Did you change your behavior when they banned texting while driving? But this law goes further. You can't touch your cell phone, according to the law. So in other words, you couldn't be on the phone talking with the cell phone up against your ear, okay? And I guess, I mean, let's take this through. If your phone was about to fall into a big, like, super gulp size of hot coffee or something like that, the way the law reads to me is you can't stop it. You'd be touching your phone. You have to let your phone fall into the piping hot coffee or the smoothie with the top knot on it, right there lodged inside, just sunk in there. It says you cannot touch your cell phone. You can touch a Bluetooth device or, like, we got our tech lesson from Senator McClendon. You can touch something on your steering wheel there for the to make the call. Okay, so let me just run through this, and I want to hear from you. Go ahead and hop on the lines now at 343-0106, 343-0106. What about using Google Maps, right? So I use Google Maps. So what if Google Maps is open on a phone? You have it in one of those, you know, holder dealies, like I got the little RAM mount deal that holds it up, and you're looking at Google Maps. You know what it'll do? Google Maps will move the map here or there. You've got to recenter the map, do something like that. Well, when you do that, aren't you touching your cell phone? I mean, what about that? What about if you're trying to do something to mute a phone? It's ringing loudly, you know, or something like that, and you're trying to hear what a child is telling you. You're touching your phone there. This law would ban you touching the phone at any point while you're driving. Now, would you support a law like that? If this comes up in the session, you got a chance to call your member of the legislature. Would you support that law? 343-0106, 343-0106. As we head to the break, too, I want to say a tip of the hat to Google. Quite often, Google has their Google Doodle up on a given day, and it's like somebody from some far-flung part of the world who did some obscure thing, or it doesn't seem to be very focused on the United States and things I dig. But today, Google, you've done a great job. They are honoring Earl Scruggs today on the Google Doodle. So if you don't even use Google for your search engine, do it, because when you open it up, their Google Doodle for today is honoring Earl Scruggs. You want to hear a banjo picked? It's happening right now. Coming right back. Grab some phone calls at 343-0106. Yeah, Google honoring Earl Scruggs. How strong is that? Good job, Google. You're on my good list today.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, hearing this reminds me of our conversation this morning with Phil Savage during the morning show. Seems to feel pretty good about the Saints' chances. So it's good stuff. All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5. And it is Midday Mobile. Grab some phone calls here and plenty of text coming in as well. Let's see here. Yeah, yes, and somebody said, could I use a sweatband to put the phone against my head, the cell phone strapped to the side of my head? I guess, but the problem is it would be, I guess, Pete, it would be touching your head, so it would be hands-free. You know, that's how, you know, good old boys, that's how we do hands-free, right, with the the phone. But I still think maybe if you're, it's touching your body. Listen, that's what I'm saying. You get into these laws that they run through, and listen, this is in no way saying that I think people should be texting and driving. I've been saying this from before, like a decade ago. The French fry that gets loose and gets between the seat and the center console is also a distraction. If you're down there digging for the fry, you're distracted. I mean, so we have laws on the books about distracted driving, but we keep putting layers and layers on of specific things you're not allowed to do. I mean, if you're saying you can't do hands-free, What if you're playing? There's no law that says you can't play a Rubik's Cube while you're driving. That's, you know, I mean, is that a distraction? All right, go to the phones here, and John in Mobile is first up. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing today?
Doing good. Would you support this? Would you support a hands-free law for Alabama?
Well, the thing is I commute from Gulf Shores to Mobile to work and back every day, and on the way home, I go down the Beach Express home, and I see people, sometimes I'll see people texting all the way down the Beach Express, and that's just an accident waiting to happen.
Sure.
You know?
Again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. This is, I've been pretty certain, not good choice, texting while driving, being distracted while driving, but the point is we have... we already have a law on the books that says you can't text, and people are doing it. We have laws on the books that say you can't be distracted driving, and people are still doing it. But what McClendon wants to do here is say you can't touch your phone. You can't touch your phone at all. And I see that seems like there's so many exceptions possible there that it already defeats the law before we get started.
At a stoplight or something like that, if you have a minute and you're backed up a little bit, but. Yeah, but I mean, it's obvious. Sometimes it's real obvious that they're looking at their phone the whole way down the Beach Express.
Right. So that is,
and I'm
with
you. I'm upset by that. You know.
Yeah, and you should be, John. And I appreciate your call. You should be, but that is distracted driving. I don't know that having McClendon having this law that says hands free, because once again, I mean, how is an officer? Okay, so law enforcement officers, they got the most unfortunate job, right? The legislature makes the job, and they got to enforce it. So what if the phone is falling into the cup of hot coffee? Or, I mean, what is the difference if the phone's in the holder there and I'm running Google Maps, right? Say I'm running Google Maps or something like that. And y'all know if you've run Google Maps, if you want to look ahead, you know, it'll move it ahead or move it back, but they'll want to recenter the map, which is just a one-place press on the screen, right, to recenter the map. Well, and I know you'll never change your radio station, but if you ever did, is there anything more? Is it an equivalent distraction to press a button on your radio as it is to press recenter map on Google Maps? I would argue no, it's not. But we're going to, in the case of this, instead of just saying, y'all pay attention to driving. If we see you distracted driving, we're going to pull you over. We don't do that. We have that law, and then we have no texting while driving. And now McClendon wants to push this law to tell you to not touch your, do not touch your phone while you're in your vehicle. All right, David in Mobile up next. Hey, David.
Sean, if that law was in effect, this phone call would be illegal right now.
So you have the phone. Wait a second. You have your hand on your phone and your phone up against your ear.
Yes, I do.
Dangerous.
And there's a reason for that, because those I have a hearing impairment. I'm not deaf or anything, but I do. It is hard for me to hear, and it's almost impossible for me to hear all the conversation on those Bluetooth devices, even the ones that are that go over your head and look like you're running a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, because those are the only type of Bluetooth devices I can wear. I can't wear those Star Trek looking devices because they hurt my my earlobes so badly.
So, yeah, you have sensitive earlobes.
It's not sensitive earlobes. It's the fact that I have to wear glasses. I have to wear prescription glasses, and the glasses with the with that device in my ear just, you know, it puts so much pressure on their ears that it starts to hurt the nerve endings in the earlobe, not the ear itself, but the lobe.
Yeah, that's what I have never heard anybody that had an issue with the earlobe. I'm jotting this down. This is new stuff for me. So,
if they wanted to, like, maybe put a maximum age limit on it, like 25 years old or something like that, for inexperienced drivers, because most of the experienced drivers I know, like myself, that know what our limits are when it comes to distraction, and not like me driving down the road right now holding a conversation with you. I'm driving perfectly fine in a safe manner. But like a couple weeks ago when we had that monsoon come through the area, I was in Choctaw County, Alabama, and got a work phone call that I needed to make some more phone calls to deal with something. But I was driving in weather that I was not comfortable driving in roads I was not familiar with. So I pulled over to the side of the road in a gas station to make those phone calls before I continued on my way.
Well said. Well, that's and you're right. That's something that comes with maturity and knowing conditions. I mean, it's always, you know, the speed limit's 55, but there's water washing across the road. You don't drive 55 at that point, right? You slow it down because you know. Because I think a lot of this can be, if people would just say, hey, we're not going to distract and drive, but will this law make a difference, and would you support a hands-free law for Alabama? Daryl's in Mobile up next. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, Dan, I don't think we need any more laws. I think we need to have some funding for some educated driving schools for driving. So in other words, have a school that teaches someone how to drive effectively while using their cell phone. I think that would work better.
Something beyond kind of what we're doing right now to get your driver's license a little more advanced?
Possibly so.
You know what? You don't hear me say this a whole bunch, like growing the size of government, but I might sign on for that one too, because the things you get, unless they maybe have changed a lot from the decades ago when somebody let me have a driver's license, but the basic laws are good if you're driving in Mayberry. You need to learn those laws, but then they need to teach the defensive driving.
Sounds good to me.
Daryl, okay, we got a plan. I appreciate the call. Let's go to, and by the way, too, if you're going to hold on here, too. Coming up in just a few minutes, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl is going to join us. We're going to talk about this question about the fire district in the county. And, oh, yeah, and thank you, Connor. It was on my list because I'm just mature enough. That story made, one of our buddies sent us a story here, speaking of roadways and DOT and all that stuff out of Washington State. If we have time, we'll get to that. I did see that story, Connor. There's a certain mile marker sign that keeps getting stolen there. It's not 420. 420 is, but so this is another one. Let's go to Savannah in Mobile. Hey, Savannah.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Thank you for doing this. I have a show. I mean, I have question. A question that I have asked someone else. Now, of course, this person had a personal interest in advocating cell phones in general, shall we say, okay, and electronics in general. But the gassing up thing, I mean, you pull up to the pump And there's a sign that says, you know, don't whip out your cell phone while you got the nozzle in your other hand.
That's right, because you're gonna all of a sudden become a human tiki torch.
Well, not only you, but if you're 3 feet away from this Yahoo that's doing it, you know, because they can't wait because they're so important. You know, it's like
yeah, but you know, I think they did. Dalton, can you Google if they did it? I think they did a Savannah. I think they did a MythBusters, and I may not be correct. So it's just somewhere in my brain that
I would
wasn't
just like
a,
to know. I would really appreciate having some actual, you know, another opinion on that. His contention was that the batteries have advanced so much and, you know, static electricity would cause more of a... Well, I mean, you know, why can't you just do the gas up thing, get back in your car, and, you know, if it's a static electricity, and make a call from there, or pull over a little bit. I mean, most gas stations, you know, it makes... You can pull over and make a phone call if it's so doggone important. But I don't want to be immolated by somebody else's stupidity.
That's a great word, too. I appreciate the call, but I would say if we want to get nuanced with this, then if it does turn out to be true, although for some reason I think there was some MythBusters or something about that. But if it's true, what Savannah was talking about, the thing, you know, don't be on your cell phone because it'll ignite, then shouldn't we have a sliding scale for where you live in the country? Because the chance of static electricity here is reserved to about 3 or 4 weeks here in the wintertime we get some static, but usually it's so humid that you don't get that. Where people in other areas of the country, where it's a lot drier, maybe they have a longer season that they're not allowed to talk and pump.
Hey, go ahead and consider that myth busted. You can have your cell phone while you're gassing
I
up.
I knew that was in my brain
went
somewhere.
To Snopes.com, apparently, and you're not going to believe this, an internet hoax began in 1999 where they said a driver gassing up in Indonesia was badly burned when he had his phone out. But there was actually no news reports to confirm that.
But they went ahead and made laws about it or made stickers, not laws, but stickers to put on
I
gas
guess
pumps.
So, you know, gas stations probably did that more so that people would pay attention to the pump so that they wouldn't spill gas everywhere.
Yeah, but the clickety-click thing.
Those don't always work. One time.
Yeah.
One time in my life. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just went with it because the public felt that it was unsafe.
All right, so myth busted. There
myth
we go.
Myth busted.
Nice. All right, I saw this here, too. this text says, I believe everyone should take a driver's test every 10 years. I'm texting this while driving, by the way. Don't do that. Yeah, a lot of y'all are jumping in here on the BS on the static electricity at the pump. Well, now we got it officially from Dalton. So I knew there was something in my brain on that. I knew that was hanging around. All right, let's take a quick one here. I'll tell you what, we're going to hold on because we're about to go to the break. We'll come back. We'll take a few more calls. Plus, Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl joins us in a second. This fire district story is something we have actually been talking about for a couple years on the show, but now has come back up again. There'll be that buffer area of the county that has been getting service from Mobile Fire Rescue Department. Certain areas won't. And some communities figured out how to cover that. Some have not. Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl says there's probably 9,000 people in his district that this will affect. We'll talk about that when we get back. Y'all stay close and just listen to the radio. Don't play with your phone now. Come on.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you all along. And this is a story, if I'm not incorrect, that this man and I have discussed on more than one occasion. And I know it seems like a new story out there, but this is one that it's been probably 2 years ago that we first discussed it. And that is the fire jurisdiction of the city of Mobile, where it interacts with the county in that buffer area. You know, when you're not in the city, but you're in the jurisdiction, you've seen those signs before. And some of these things are changing. And the discussions have come up from the law enforcement side and also on the fire side. And earlier this year, Mobile Fire Rescue Department said that they would stop providing in a gradual manner services in the expanded police jurisdiction that extends 3 miles past the city limits. Okay. They have to, so you have the 3 mile buffer and then you have this extended area. And now it's going to be upon the county or residents of those areas to figure out what they're going to do about getting fire coverage there. And reading a story from Jason Johnson over at Landyap, and specifically Mobile County Commissioner District 3, Jerry Carl, you have 9,000 residents that would be affected by this?
Roughly, that's what we have put together. It's 9,000, correct.
Hey, thanks for being on and talking about this. 9,000 people, that's I mean, obviously one person, if it's your house, is significant, but 9,000, that'll fill a room.
It's probably the most heavily populated area in my entire district.
And where, kind of describe it, give us an idea where that is.
It will run basically from Airport Boulevard south, Scott Dairy Loop. It will go east to west from Cody Road out to past McFarland Road.
Okay, so people right now, before we describe what could happen, let's talk about the situation now. So people in that area now, they currently are in this expanded jurisdiction. In other words, if there's a fire or a kitten stuck in a tree or something like that, it's Mobile Fire Rescue that is deployed there?
Yes, let's do a real quick history. The legislature changed the law 2 years ago, allowing the city to pull back their services to the city limits. They do not have to cover in the police jurisdiction. They basically pull the police jurisdiction back to the city limit, and it goes away. The city of Mobile has done that, but they have not done it in this area because the mayor has worked with us to keep coverage, and the city of Mobile is covering the area that's in question now. It will continue to cover this area. I am trying to get people aware that there's nothing I, as a county commissioner, county government was never set up to provide fire protection. So we have such things as what's called a fire district. You have to go through the state. It has to be voted on. So a fire district is where a process of raising money and a volunteer fire department is established. There has never been a fire district established in this, I call it the hole, because it's just an empty hole. So the mayor has really worked with us. And when I see him and I bring it up, he goes, you know, what have you done? What have you encouraged people to do? So this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to get people aware of what can happen in the future, but no one's to panic. It's not going to affect your insurance. Everything is fine right now. But as a community, we've got to decide what we're going to do, because there's four options. And the four options real quickly are: start your own fire district, which requires a vote, a ballot vote going through Don Davis and Judge Davis going to the probate court office.
Would that vote be of the entire county or just that area?
Just that affected area.
All right.
So theoretically, we could get it on the 2020 vote, give you some ideas. So we're 2 years out getting this thing established. So you could join the Seven Hills Volunteer Fire Department. Again, you still have got to do a vote, still got to go through probate court. You could start your own city and then establish your own fire protection through the city. Lots of problems with that, but there's a couple of businesses there that have looked at it and are asked for the city of Mobile to annex this area into the city. All four of those have to be voted on in the same manner.
Well, you mean they're all given as you can do A, B, C, or D,
I haven't got that question answered through the judge yet. In fact, being fair to him, I haven't asked him yet because I got hit with that yesterday. I don't think it's going to be A, B, C, or D. If someone wants to join the Seven Hill Fire District, they have to collect 100 signatures of people that live there to get it on a ballot. If you get four people with four different ideas and they collect 100 each, I guess they can get all four on a ballot to be voted on. I don't know how that's going to work out.
But it is strange, because if one of those choices was, you know, create a municipality, that is a lot bigger decision than signing on with a volunteer fire department. I mean, they're not really kind of equal choices there if you did an A, B, C, D.
Right, but that's what this meeting is set up for. There's actually two. There'll be one at 10:30, and there'll be one at 6:30, and it will be there at Living Word Church. Pastor Brad Sullivan there has opened his doors for us to use his facility, and it's just to get people thinking. I want them to understand it's your choice. You know, people complain so much about they didn't get a choice to vote on something because what the government did. Well, this is one time you're going to get a chance to vote on something.
Okay. So
it's your choice.
And you said this is something that you're looking at 2024, so that's kind of the window of time on this?
Well, I would love to do it faster than that. That's the next election that comes to mind. It has to be held as an election. We probably could do a special election. Again, I have not talked to the judge about that.
Okay, it says, yeah, because I was reading through that, now, with them pulling back, them being the Mobile Fire Rescue Department, them pulling back, they won't pull back until you find another source of coverage. But there has to be some kind of deadline or timeline or something on that. Nothing in the world works unless you put some kind of deadline on it.
That's my biggest fear, is everyone just keeps looking the other way, and then finally the mayor says, okay, we made a decision here, we're going to do this, and he gives you a date. No, and it's not his fault. I mean, he's given us 2 years already to start working on this. It's not like it's just come up. As you said on your opening there, it's things that we've been trying to deal with for a while. But, you know, that's what this meeting is about. Say, okay, folks, here's the options. Let's do something. Let's move. The county government, have no influence. We have no input. We have no opinion. We want to do what the people want to do, and the people will be the majority.
You know, it is interesting to think about because of the way the law enforcement side is, right? So you have the sheriff and sheriff's department responsible for the entirety of the county, but obviously outside the metros where they do the most of their work. And so
we have that covered. We have.
But there's not an analog.
We have emergency vehicles, ambulance services covered. All of that's covered.
But not fire.
The only problem is the fire, because there never was a fire district established.
Are there areas, and I'm trying to picture the county here, you know, I'm picturing the hole you're talking about, but also, are there other areas of the county that aren't under some kind of auspices of a fire district or a municipality or another volunteer fire department? Are there other people dealing with that?
Yeah, well, the Scott Dairy Loop, the south side of Scott Dairy Loop was covered by the city of Mobile at one time, and now it falls under the Theodore, the water board down in Theodore, which most people don't know that. They've been covering fires for the last, I'm going to say, last 9 months, if not a year, and not a bit of problems. So the volunteer fire departments work very well.
Now, would that mean if this area you described, if you're just joining us talking to Mobile County Commissioner Jerry Carl about this, if that area signed on with Seven Hills, have you talked to Seven Hills volunteered? Are they okay with that? Or is that?
I have. Seven Hills will be at the meeting. What Seven Hills will have to do, though, Seven Hills will have to build a new fire station closer to Schillinger's Road to keep the fire codes down, keep the ratings down. It's graded how far it is from the fire station. So and it has to be within a five-mile area. We would have to build something towards closer to Schillinger's, around Cottage Hill area, somewhere, and another fire station, another volunteer fire station. And of course, it has to be staffed. It's all volunteer.
Well, and we picture volunteer fire departments, and the ones that I've been around in the country, those buildings, other than maybe on the weekends or whatever, when people are up there, are empty unless there's work to be done. Everybody's being a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. But that's out in the country, Commissioner Carl. You're talking about 9,000 people. It seems like you have to have somebody there maybe 24/7, or how does that work?
Well, all the volunteer fire departments are high tech. You they're not what they used to be. If you go Seven Hills, for example, you'll see everything's high tech. We've got 911 board that handles all the calls. They get it out to them. The response time's great. I mean, Seven Hills has just got an incredible record for responding on fires. I can't say enough good about them. And they'll bring that same knowledge and put in this new fire station. But you still have got to get volunteers to do the work.
And they have to be trained, right?
But these guys respond, ladies respond at odd hours of the night and get up and show up at work at 8 o'clock in the morning.
If they expanded the volunteer fire department and they needed more personnel, those people would have to go through some kind of training before they become.
Yes, you cannot be on a volunteer fire department unless you've got so many hours of training. And they've actually got a school set up to go through a fire school. Again, it's high tech, and it's a lot more complicated than it used to be. Just willing to ride on a truck and drag a hose, those days are gone.
All right. Remind folks once again, these two meetings, they're when and where?
January the 15th. I think that's next Tuesday, Thursday. I'm getting my days mixed up here. Holidays have got me messed up. At Living Word Church, there on Dawes Road. We'll have one meeting at 10:30. Please, if you can make the 10:30, come to the 10:30. The second meeting's at 6:30, and we expect that to be a packed house.
So, and if I'll keep that, I'll tell you what, we'll put something up on our Facebook page or whatever if people want to go there and get it if they're riding down the road and, you know, didn't get it jotted down. But you, I mean, there's 9,000 people affected here. You think the crowd would be, if I'm living there, I'm there. It seems like it'd be a big bunch of people turn out.
Well, that's the reason I wanted to have two. I want to have one in the daytime where some of the folks that may work night shift and are, you know, retired, lots of reasons want to attend the 12:30, and then the 6:30 at night, obviously, is for the after-work crowd. But I encourage everyone that has any interest to come to it. They can go to my Facebook page. We have a map there that our department has put together. They can put their street in it. It will tell them. They should have received a card, a flyer in the mail from the department here telling them about this meeting. We sent out several thousand of those.
All right. Well, if they didn't get it, now they know, and we'll direct them to your Facebook page as well and talk about this more coming up in the weeks to come. Commissioner Carl, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Sean. Take care. Let's go fishing.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go do that. Not to twist my arm too much there. All right, coming right back, we'll grab some calls on this and some people questioning about annexation. Of course, that's always part of a conversation here, but right now it could be within 2 years something has to be done for those folks. And what do y'all want to do? You got a chance to talk about it next week.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now that sounds like a song that gets me ready for a Friday. Sets it off just right. 1252 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Coming up less than a week away, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. Listen, there's great stuff going on every day. If you're looking for some great craft beer, maybe spirits, fine wines, you're a cigar fan, you'll hit Shangri-La there with their gigantic humidor, plus Billy the Tobacconist, who is the park ranger for going to find your cigar. I mean, point you in the right direction. Even somebody like me, I don't know anything about cigars. I mean, he helps me because I have two people on my list every year for Christmas and birthdays and all those kind of things that like cigars, and Billy helps me with that. Listen, go by and check out that great selection. But coming up on Thursday, there on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, they do these special events in the lounge in the back of Cottage Hill Package, which is nice. The leather furniture, wood bar, all it's a really good looking spot. But they're having an event with Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, which is a big one for craft beer fans out there. Sierra Nevada has a ton of different beers out there, and they have some new ones for us to taste and check out. They're going to be debuting those at Cottage Hill Package Thursday night at 6. The events are free. The samples are free. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but quite often when I've seen it before, the breweries sometimes have like the stickers and the hats and the cool stuff, huggers and those kind of things. So if you're a big fan of that brand, maybe a chance to get something cool, sticker for your vehicle or your cooler, or maybe a hugger or a hat, something like that, and get to sample those beers. And lucky for you, if you find a new one that you love, the folks at Cottage Hill Package, Manus family, will have some for you probably to purchase and take home with you. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com. Go like them on Facebook and make sure just to go by in person and see them at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. All right. And Dalton, if this messes you up, I had pulled this in show prep myself. And then, because why I say that to Dalton is because we have 6.5 stories coming up next hour. But I had put this on my stack. Then our buddy Connor sent me a thing on Facebook, said, "Hey, did you see this?" And I was, "Yeah, I already had that in my stack." Duh. And it's about street signs, and it's about immaturity. And so, therefore, I was Johnny on the spot on the story. Follow me here, y'all. Story through WKRG, but from WIVB television out in Washington State. It says, the Washington State Department of Transportation is getting creative. Mile marker 69, give y'all time to answer that, keeps getting stolen along one stretch of the highway. Since thieves are showing no signs of slowing down, officials have replaced it with a mile 68.9 sign. So because the mile marker 69 on this road in Washington State has been stolen so many times that they get tired of it, they've now baited. You know how the mile markers have, like, the numbers are vertically stacked on a mile marker sign, right? Like, 15 have a 1 over a 5 or something. So, in this one, the stack is, and you can see the story, I put it up on my Twitter feed, it is mile 6, 8, and then the line through there, and then below it, 0.9. So, it's now mile marker 68.9. Let me add on to this story as well. Washington Department of Transportation, before this, had previously had to replace signs of, who has a road this long, post mile marker 420. And they've now replaced that with a mile marker sign 419.9. 420 signs were disappearing as well, and they replaced those with 419.9, and then they replaced mile marker 69 with 68.9. Now, if you wonder, if Beavis and Butthead were real human beings and not fanciful drawings of Mike Judge, if they were, you know, then quite possibly they would be residing in Washington State now. But that's just a story. Connor, I saw it and I appreciate it. My mind is just as immature as yours, and I was drawn to that story as well. Speaking of the kids, too, a little story here that this one popped up this morning. We can talk about this when we have a little more time to talk about these stories, but listen to this. Headline here says, sending report cards home on Fridays increases child abuse, study finds. Okay. New study out of Florida recommending school report cards not be sent home on Fridays in hopes of preventing child abuse. Study done by Dr. Melissa Bright, a research scientist at the University of Florida, found child abuse spikes after report cards come out, but only when grades are sent home on Fridays. You have the weekend to do it. Bright and a team of fellow researchers looked into a year's worth of child abuse cases that were verified by the Florida Department of Children and Families. The team compared those cases to dates that the elementary school report cards were issued and found the correlation. According to the study, cases of child abuse were 4 times higher on Saturdays than followed Fridays when report cards were sent home. When report cards were sent home earlier in the week, there was no increase in child abuse cases, according to their findings. They said it was an astonishing find. Quote here from the lead researcher, it's sad, but the good news is there's a simple intervention. Don't give report cards on a Friday. The lead researcher now wants to extend her research and look into data outside of Florida. She says she also wants to pinpoint the underlying cause of the link between the abuse and the report cards. I would imagine it's not A's. That would not be the link. Wouldn't be getting A's. While she and other researchers suspect it's because children are being physically punished for their grades, they want to make sure there's not something else that they're unaware of, which means they probably need more funding. According to a news release out of the University of Florida, Bright hopes her findings will encourage school districts to send home grades earlier in the week and not send them home on Fridays. There you go. By the way, my children's school did not send the grades, and maybe they weren't ready in time, but they did not send the grades until after Christmas. Did y'all get parents? Because I only know our reality. Is that reality for everyone? That the grades don't get to you till after Christmas? Isn't that weird? Because, I mean, Santa might want to know what the grades look like before he loads that much stuff up in the sleigh, right? Okay, just an idea. All right. Coming right back. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile. Lots to do coming up next hour. And key to that is 6.5 stories with Dalton Norwig. All that stuff I missed on the web, even with the exception of the last story there, he will lay those out for us. So get ready. 6.5 stories on the way. A whole lot more. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile next.